I saw a Facebook advert from the Church of England this week that was suggesting that most of the general public might be thinking that Easter is now over. The egg hunts are finished and the chocolate has been eaten. In fact, Easter is a whole season in the church calendar, lasting all the way until our celebration of Pentecost on May the 19th. It's perhaps increasingly true in society that we spend more time in the build-up to events rather than celebrating the actual event. Cream eggs were on the shelves in the days just after Christmas this year, and I noticed that they're now already marked down to 6 for a pound in the local shop. It's crucial that Easter is recognised as more than a blip in the calendar. Last week I talked of Easter Sunday as marking the greatest day in history. Why? Because far from being a blip, we are forever changed. We sometimes describe ourselves as Christians as Easter people. This is because we are forever transformed by the events of Easter. And it's a dramatic transformation from darkness to light, from guilt and shame to forgiveness and freedom, from separation from God to reconciliation with Him. The story is dramatically rewritten by Jesus. Today's Gospel account shows another example of dramatic transformation. Right at the beginning of the reading, we're told that the disciples are locked in a room together for fear of the Jews. This is at the end of the first day of the week, at the other end of the day that saw Peter and John discovering the empty tomb and Mary encountering the resurrected Jesus. We hear that fear is keeping them in a locked-up room, that they are anxious and struggling to process and understand the news of Jesus' resurrection. Perhaps it's not too hard to place yourself in the disciples' shoes. Fear and anxiety can be debilitating. Fear can paralyze. Fear can make you want to retreat to a safe space. And it can make you want to shut out the world and lock all the doors, to isolate and cut yourself off from risk and danger. Self-isolation is a thing that we've all learned something about in recent years. But the disciple situation is transformed. Transformed by the one who cannot be kept out of even a locked room. The fear mentioned in verse 19 turns to joy mentioned in verse 20. What is it that's happened in the middle? Jesus' presence and Jesus' greeting of peace. Peace be with you. Last year, the Kelly family tried out an escape room for the first time. For those that don't know, an escape room is a physical adventure game in which players are placed in a themed room and must use elements of the room to solve a series of puzzles, discover clues, and complete objectives within a set time limit. The ultimate goal is often to escape from the location of the game. That's where the name escape room originates from. We did one where we were locked in a train carriage and had to solve the clues to a murder mystery to escape. We enjoyed it and it was good fun, if a little frustrating at times. But of course, one of the things about these escape rooms is that you know before you lock yourselves in them that if you look hard enough for the clues and think hard enough, you'll be able to escape. Put simply, the answer is in the room. But that's the difference with the disciples' locked room experience. The answer to their fear and confusion wasn't inside the room with them when they locked the doors. No matter how much they talked and thought amongst themselves, or in the words of today's self-help gurus, looked within themselves or found themselves, the answer wasn't in the room with them. Until, of course, it suddenly was. The same is true for us today. We may find ourselves in our own locked rooms, pacing the floor, fearing what is outside, and trying to solve all of life's puzzles. But the answer lies outside ourselves, outside the locked rooms we may have created. The transformation that comes from Easter, the transformation from death to abundant life, doesn't come from a result of self-help. It's the result of help outside the room, or more accurately, from help outside the room breaking through into the room. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 tells us this, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." We are transformed in the most extreme way, from death to life, not by our own hard work, but by God's grace. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4 reminds us, "Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." In some churches on Easter Sunday, renewal of baptismal vows forms a key part of the service, and it's easy to understand why. The prayer over the water that we say as part of the baptism service reminds us that through the water of baptism we are buried with Christ in his death, and by it we share in his resurrection. Baptism is the ultimate reminder that we look outside of ourselves, for without you we can do nothing, and accept fully the gift of God's grace that is on offer to us. Baptism is the preeminent reminder that our God, through the actions of Jesus on the cross, is able to break into the middle of the locked rooms of our making and meet with us. That is how and why we are transformed, and is what we are celebrating in our Holy Communion this morning. That is how and why we are an Easter people. And that is why we don't simply say it on Easter Day, but forever say, "Alleluia, Christ is risen."